We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody? Nick Whalen, Alex Barutha here with you as we are every Monday afternoon on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We're brought to you this week by Smart Bracket. Go check out Smart Bracket, smartbracket.io. They got an app as well, NCAA tournament coming up. This is exactly what you need to do well in those pools. March Madness fans, before we dive into the madness, we want to loop you in on one of our sponsors, Supported Intelligence. They've developed an AI tool called smartbracket.io. That can really help when you're building those brackets. Think of Smart Bracket as the one friend who always has the inside scoop thanks to something they call rapid recursive technology. It's like having a secret playbook for your March Madness picks, making your bracket a bit smarter while saving you a ton of time. If you love the game and your bracket could use a bit of an edge, smartbracket.io is worth a peek. I'll say that, Alex. It's fun. It's easy to use while leveraging some brilliant AI technology. It might just give you those bragging rights that you're after. With March Madness just around the corner, a little extra insight never hurts. When Selection Sunday starts, check out smartbracket.io. Here's to enjoying the madness and making smarter choices along the way. Thank you, Supported Intelligence. Smart Bracket, check it out, man. We are, what, less than a week away from Selection Sunday. So now's the time, smartbracket.io. Well, Alex, we have more injury news to get to. I will take complete responsibility for this. You called me out on it last week. You're like, all right, you know, a couple weeks ago, you said we don't have that many injuries. Pretty much everybody's been healthy except for Embiid and LaMelo. I just continue to be wrong. You know, I was covering some news for us late last night, and it's like Sunday night, not that many games, should be chill. No, Şengün's leaving on a wheelchair. Sadiq Bey tears his ACL. You know, we found out earlier in the weekend that Ben Mathurin is going to miss the rest of the season. I feel even more like an idiot because I was taking victory laps last week. I'm like, oh, yeah, I traded Jaren Jackson, got rid of that problem. I got Şengün. He had a couple, like, monster games. I'm like, all right, I'm making a charge in the stake league. No, I am not. And we should say we don't necessarily have a full update on Şengün quite yet. I am somebody that stays away from the gruesome injury videos. So I was, like, kind of, you know, I had to watch it as a journalist last night to write the injury note. And I'm like, I kind of have, like, one eye open. I'm like, I really don't want to see this guy's leg snap. I will say it wasn't quite as bad as I thought. You know, it was more of an ankle issue. At first, you kind of couldn't really tell. He was contesting Domantas Sabonis in transition. But either way, you could hear on the audio feed, you know, Şengün using some expletives to define what was going on with his foot and ankle. He'll, of course, undergo an MRI, some x-rays. We'll see what's next. Got to imagine, I mean, he's at least missing a couple weeks here, right? I mean, like, the best case scenario feels like it's a severe ankle sprain. And, you know, it could be a break, could be some tendons that are damaged. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising at all if he's just done for the year.
Yeah, that would not be surprising. I mean, I saw the video. I saw the image that was sort of going around Twitter in terms of, like, the ankle looked like it bent a little too far up for my liking, up on the leg. But I echo what you're saying, where if you get Şengün back at any point this season, I think that's a win, whether it's fantasy, whether you're the Houston Rockets. And at some point, there is going to be an equation of, look, we're in 11th right now. We have 29 wins to Golden State's 33, who's above us. And if we're going to, they are probably going to start rattling off some more losses here without Şengün. And at some point, they may just decide with a few weeks left in the season, a couple weeks left in the season, we just shut them down regardless.
Yeah, I think he was on the outskirts of potentially being a shutdown candidate anyway, right? I mean, Houston's sitting at 11th right now. I don't believe they have any like major draft pick implications. So I do think if he was healthy, he probably plays out the season on what's going to end up being just kind of an average year for the Rockets. But yeah, I mean, it's not like this is a team that's battling for the fifth seed in the Western Conference. It's like if there's any risk whatsoever, you're shutting them down. You're playing for the future and kind of playing the long game anyway with somebody as young as Şengün. But that was brutal. I know a lot of people in the chat were telling us last week, they had two or three guys who've been victims of injuries, and now you throw Şengün on top of that. Sadiq Bey, not a top 70 guy, top 50 guy, even higher like Şengün, but still another blow. Somebody who had stepped up of late with all the other injuries in Atlanta. They called it a hyperextension last night initially. Since it's been announced by Woj that it is in fact an ACL tear for Sadiq Bey. So obviously he's out for the rest of this season. And with it being March 11th, this is likely something that will impact him as far as the start of next season goes. Atlanta could get Jalen Johnson back as soon as Wednesday. That's their next game. He's kind of more of a day-to-day guy at this point. But of course, still without Trae Young and without Onyeka Okongwu. And it's kind of a big deal for fantasy. I mean, Sadiq Bey prior to last night, he'd been averaging north of 35 minutes a night with all their injuries.
Yes. I mean, it's, Atlanta, you mentioned it, getting hit by injuries. Jalen Johnson has been banged up, has missed two straight. I think they're going to, hopefully, we've been saying this for like 4 years. Hopefully this means more usage for DeAndre Hunter. I don't know if that will actually happen. They've been kind of going with like, hey, let's give Garrison Matthews some more minutes. And Vic Krejci is back. So from like a fantasy perspective, I don't really know if there's going to be a major beneficiary with Sadiq Bey out for the season. Maybe AJ Griffin can get in the rotation at some point. Yeah. But he's been in the G League. That's tough to say. I want to go back a little bit because we talked about Şengün, but we didn't really mention, hey, someone's got to start for him. It's 30, 35 minutes a game usage. He's only missed one game this season. So our sample is very small in terms of what happens, when he sits out. Part of me thinks, hey, they signed Jock Landale for a reason. He hasn't been playing that much. I also think they like Jabari Smith as a small ball five, but sort of what is your initial reaction to who may get more minutes?
Yeah, I mean, that's a decision that I was kind of in on last night. Obviously we have some human input on our stat projections, our minute projections, and it's interesting in Houston because I think Landale's the obvious guy, right? But the only other real center on the roster other than Steven Adams, who's not playing this season, is Boban. And every team Boban's on, it's like, every now and then he'll just pop in and play 4 minutes. Early in his career, he'd have those runs where he'd sometimes, creep up to like 15 minutes. He just hasn't really been a part of this rotation at all this season. So I don't see a situation where it's like, all right, Landale and Marjanovic, you're just splitting up 48 minutes a night now between you two. I think Landale's the obvious beneficiary. I also think there's kind of a cap on Jock Landale, right? I don't think he's stepping into 30 minutes a night. I think, maybe he moves from playing 13 to 17 minutes to like 22 to 25, which could still be really valuable, in terms of points and rebounds. And you hope you get a few blocks and threes out of him. But I think the true beneficiary might be Jabari Smith, as you alluded to. He's already playing big minutes. So in terms of, where his night-to-night workload can go, I'm not sure there's a huge, jump up there. I mean, he's averaging like 35 a game already. He's had a couple 40 minute nights of late, but I think it's more about, where does the usage trickle down here? Because, Şengün is obviously near the top on that roster as far as guys who use possessions. You got Jalen Green, you got Van Vliet. Maybe this is a few more shots for Cam Whitmore, who will happily take those. But I think we see more small ball Jabari Smith. And I think he inherits, a lot of the 17 shots a game essentially, and even more possessions when you factor in the passing and the free throws from Şengün. So this makes me like Jabari Smith more down the stretch.
Yeah, I think if you're the Rockets, you also want to try to just get Jabari Smith to do a little bit more. He hasn't had to, and that's fine. Like, you have Fred VanVleet and Şengün running the offense. Jalen Green does his thing. You have Cam Whitmore come in and pop shots. But I think you would like to get Jabari Smith some more offensive development. You mentioned usage as well. Looking up right now on our on-off-court stats page on RotoWire, with Şengün and Tari Eason also off the court, who gets the biggest usage boost? It is Jalen Green, who gets an 8% usage boost, up to 34% usage when he's on the court, 25 points and 4 assists for Jalen Green. So look, I'm not going to stand here and predict like Jalen Green, 25 points a game from here the rest of the season. But if you're looking for maybe a buy low candidate, you know, someone doesn't necessarily think there's going to be a correlation there. There's a chance if you're in a 10-team category league, Jalen Green might actually be on your waiver wire. Might not be a bad pickup.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, I mean, Şengün has missed almost no time this year. He only missed one other game. That was February 10th against Atlanta. And this injury occurred with like a minute left last night. So it's not like we even had like a quarter or a half to see what Houston would do. So it is somewhat of a guessing game. You know, looking ahead at the schedule for Houston, assuming Şengün is out, three more games this week. They have a three-game week next week and then a four-game week to conclude the month of March. So I think, you know, in a deeper league, I'll definitely try to go out and grab Jock Landale. On somewhat of a speculative basis and just kind of see what this becomes. I mean, again, we don't really have much of a roadmap here. They don't have a ton of depth at center. You know, Jeff Green would kind of be that other guy. And you know, obviously we're not that interested in him for fantasy, but yeah, I think Jabari Smith and Jalen Green are probably the two biggest winners here, which doesn't even feel like the right term when somebody's leaving on a wheelchair. But nonetheless, if you're a Şengün fantasy owner, not great news. Paul chimes in. He said, Şengün just went down for me last night. He's locked in at first place, so he has the bye week for the first week of the playoffs. That's good. What do you think of the chances Embiid comes back for week 22? Go ahead. No, you go ahead, please.
Well, okay, yeah, it depends what, you know, some leagues split the All-Star break or not. So you're basically in either week 20 or week 21 right now. So you're basically asking me, like, do I think Embiid will come back in the next 2 to 3 weeks? My guess is no. We did get a fairly encouraging update last week that he was ramping up back. He started on court workouts and he's 100% in the weight room, which is great. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean Embiid squatting 400 pounds on his knee? Maybe not. But I think, look, Shams Charania said that he is expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Guys like Shams, Chris Haynes, Woj, are almost never wrong. And that 6-week timetable puts him at basically early April. And even if he does come back a little before that, let's say he comes back last week of March, what are the odds he's playing more than like 20 minutes a game for you? And then at that point, someone else on your roster is probably going to be giving you just as good, if not better, numbers. So I don't think you should worry about potentially dropping Embiid if you're thin for IR spots.
Yeah, Philly's got to be careful too. I mean, this team is completely cratered, as you'd expect, without Embiid. And, you know, Maxey's missed time as well. That certainly has not helped. But they're down to sixth right now in the Eastern Conference and are only a half game up on Indy and a full game up on Miami for seventh and eighth. So, again, you're obviously going to prioritize Joel Embiid's health, but there is some urgency here, I think, when it comes to the Sixers, because, you know, you were, what, third, fourth in the East like 3 weeks ago, and all of a sudden now you're in grave danger of falling into the play-in zone. I would not drop Embiid. So where do you come in officially? Are you saying that you would drop him and try to stream that spot, or are you with me where, like, I think there's enough of a chance, and obviously the upside is so colossal with Embiid that if you could hold him, I would still hold out hope until it's officially ruled out.
If you have too many injury reserve spots, like if you're holding, let's say you have two IRs and you're already holding two top 40, top 50 guys in there,
yeah,
I think you could drop Embiid, to be honest. Okay. If you're, because he's saying his second week of the playoffs is week 22,
yeah,
which it's going to be 2 weeks from now for a lot of people. So yeah, if that's your case, you just got to win. You just got to get through the playoffs.
Fair enough. Matt points out in the chat, by the way, Drew Holiday out tonight for the Boston Celtics. Some actionable news here. Boston had its entire starting lineup on the injury report as of last night. So Holiday's going to be out, but Tatum, Brown, and Derek White will all play. Kristaps Porzingis also sitting out. It is the front end of a back-to-back for Boston. So something to keep an eye out there.
I can take my Derek White over blocks and blocks, yes, and steals props tonight on the RotoWire NBA show on SiriusXM channel 86. I will say, you know, you mentioned the 76ers are struggling right now. Past four games, they're averaging 98 points per game. They had scored, what, 76 or something last night?
They won 79 to 73. Look, nothing wrong with that as long as you're holding the Knicks to 73.
Man, brutal.
All right, we'll hit a few questions here as we move through the pod. I want to talk about some of the guys on the rise. And, a lot of the questions here, I think, will go hand in hand with players we want to talk about. And we're at the point in the year where we got to talk about Delano Benton and Scoot Henderson, because with all the injuries and with everybody kind of scraping for value this time of year, these are relevant names. Kenny asked, Benton or Scoot in a 9-cat, 10-team league? His playoffs also begin in week 22. Banton's really tough for me because he's been playing a ton of minutes. He started four games in a row. He played 42 minutes against a terrible Toronto team the other night. You know, the numbers have been pretty good. The shooting is probably going to be all over the place, but really high usage player. And, you know, we're basically night to night with all of the regulars for Portland, right? Jeremy Grant, Ayton, I know, came back recently, but he'd been out. Brogdon, probably don't see him again this year. I don't know that we see Shaedon Sharpe either. He's missed a ton of time. So I feel like with Banton, if you're in a daily lineup league and you can kind of play the odds, I guess, on who's out on a given night, I like him a lot. I think if you're locking him into a weekly lineup, especially in a 3-game week, there might be some nights when you get burned because, you know, who knows when Jeremy Grant is randomly going to play or Anthony Simons is randomly going to sit out.
Yeah, like we could all look at the past four games that he started and be like, hey, look, man, 36 minutes, he played well. But then before that, there were two games where he played single-digit minutes. Yeah, Banton's playing well. I would still rather have Scoot. Scoot is a guy, we're not talking about like Jeremy Grant, who's a veteran, or DeAndre Ayton, who's a veteran, sort of, and might get shut down. Like, Scoot is someone they have, obviously, a lot of interest in developing. And I think they would like to get him as many reps as possible. Mm-hmm. I would rather have Scoot. I know he's going to kill your field goal percentage. I know he's going to kill your turnovers. But there's like a 0% chance that Scoot plays like 9 minutes in a game that he's healthy. And that could happen to Banton. Now, chances of it happening get less and less as the season goes on, but yeah.
Another good Blazers question here from Daniel. He says, my team is more injured and seemingly outclassed in my current head-to-head playoff matchup. Looking to stream max games played in an attempt to compete. I can tell you're doing the right thing there. Is Tumani Kamara a good grab for the Wednesday-Thursday back-to-back set? Yeah, I mean, you're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, but for good reason here. They play Atlanta and New York, so we like one of those matchups. We don't love the other against the Knicks team that's been pretty good on defense and should be getting some pieces back soon. Those are both home games for Portland. You know, maybe that's a slight bump. I'm not super fired up about Kamara. I would like to think in a 12-team league, you might be able to do a little bit better, but specifically for that back-to-back set, I don't mind it. 11 games this season, he's played more than 30 minutes. He's averaging about 11 points, 7 boards, 1.5 steals, 1.3 threes. So I would say, you know, reasonably, you times that by 2, and that's probably what you should be able to expect.
Yeah. I think it's not a lot of people say they're being outclassed in fantasy. I do.
Yeah, that's very big of you to say that.
Kamara, yeah. I mean, part of me thinks there's probably a better option on the waiver wire in a 12-team league. But if points and assists are, if points and rebounds are what you need, then it's fine because that's all really Kamara's doing for you. But it's going to be pretty inconsistent.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I mean, Charlotte is another team that has a back-to-back Friday, Saturday. The Pelicans have a Friday, Saturday back-to-back. So, you know, presumably this is a daily moves league where you can, you know, kind of jump mm-hmm. around and, Utah also has a Friday, Saturday back-to-back. A couple of teams, you know, Portland and Dallas, I believe. Oh, no, Portland, Dallas, and Chicago are the three teams with a Wednesday, Thursday back-to-back. Yeah, Chicago, in a 12-team, is there anybody you really like? You know, Dallas, maybe Daniel Gafford's out there. I feel like we have to kind of go game-to-game with him still.
Yeah, and I mean, this week is actually pretty balanced from like how many games are on a day of a week perspective. So it's a pretty good week to stream in general. But yeah, I mean, Chicago doesn't really have that many appealing options outside of the usuals. Drummond would not be a bad stream if he's available.
Yeah. Yeah, I would check into Drummond. And again, if somebody dropped Gafford, you know, he's now played 20 plus minutes in 3 straight. So that trend has reversed a little bit, you know, as far as his minutes go. He started 2 in a row, he's got 8 blocks over his last 3 games. But, you know, Derek Lively back in the mix now. He missed the game against Detroit over the weekend. So that's you know, liable to change on a whim for that Dallas front court. Christopher says, what are your feelings about Toronto? Everyone is out tonight. I'm thinking about streaming Jordan Nwora. Well, you're right about that. So Quickly is out. Gary Trent is out. Chris Boucher, who's played well of late, he's out. Jakob Poeltl, Scotty Barnes, they're all out. RJ Barrett will be a game time call with an illness. And Bruce Brown, also questionable as of right now. Barrett's actually been upgraded to probable. So it does look like they'll have RJ Barrett. I mean, this is a skeleton crew for the Raptors. And, you know, we talked a little bit last week about, you know, some guys who could benefit with no Barnes and no Poeltl. And we're kind of going through the same song and dance with Nwora as last year, where it's like, if the minutes are there, yeah, he has a chance to score like 25 on any night. You know, he is a chucker, and we don't necessarily mean that in a bad way for fantasy. He kind of reminds me of like a Sadiq Bey type of player. I think if those minutes were there, hasn't played a ton of minutes. He's played only 15 total minutes the last 2 games, but you know, with so many guys out, I think that probably changes tonight. So I don't mind it. You know, I think you have to live with the potential downside here, and it's a pretty rough matchup at Denver.
Tough matchup. They are 16-point underdogs, although that may actually help Nwora. If it gets out of hand, he might just go up and chuck. You said it with Nwora, because per 36, basically, I mean, this season he's averaging 18-7-3. So, and he could play 36 minutes tonight. Who knows? It's to the point for Toronto where, you know, we have an on-off court stats on our daily lineups page on RotoWire, and you can click it and get kind of a quick heads up on who gets increased usage. It just says, we don't have data for that. There's too many guys out. Like it's gotten to that point where it's like, this just doesn't even, these lineup combinations don't actually exist. Nwora again is fine. There is still a chance he might only play 20 minutes. It's almost impossible to predict. I mean, I wish we had better answers for you, but a guy like Ibadji, actually gave a decent amount of run to Freeman Liberty the other day. Feel a little bit safer.
All right, we continue to navigate through the weeds here. Matt says, would you drop Hartenstein for either Olynyk or Nick Richards in a head-to-head points league? It's in the semifinals of his playoff matchup. I think so. It depends on, of course, what categories you need and, you know, some of the league settings here. But it's a 3-game week for the Knicks, and it's a 4-game week for both Toronto and Charlotte. So, again, it depends. You know, do you have the ability to make moves night to night? Is there a games limit? Things like that. But if you're just looking at it from a games played perspective, yeah, you know, Hartenstein's numbers have been down lately. Both Olenek and Richards have outperformed him. So I would say yes. The question is, do you go with Olenek or do you go with Richards?
Yeah, you mentioned Hartenstein's minutes are down. He had been dealing with that Achilles injury. Knicks are playing at a horrible pace lately. Look, Olenek is the better fantasy player. If minutes were equal and Olenek's been playing significant minutes lately, and they gave him an extension, but Toronto needs to lose games to keep their draft pick. And I would worry about an Olenek shutdown at some point. Mysterious injury, whatever it is. So that does make me prefer Richards, even though he's a bit inconsistent. But look, over the course of a week, three games, he'll get you decent numbers. He'll get you, you know, that 10 and 8 with a block average that you need. But if you need pure upside, like this week, I think I would just go Olenek. But if you're concerned longer term, Richards.
I will say, if we need to break the tie here, I like the schedule a lot more for Charlotte. At Detroit tonight, at Memphis on Wednesday, Phoenix Friday, Philly Saturday. I mean, you got three really good matchups there. And then you know, Phoenix is a little tougher, whereas Toronto plays at Denver, at Detroit, and then two against Orlando, which has been a really slow-paced, good defensive team to end the week. So I think that would push me slightly in favor of Nick Richards. Brian says, is Tyler Hero coming back at all? Good question. I think so. I think he should come back. He didn't play last night against the Wizards. That was, what, 8 missed games in a row? This is becoming a little bit more concerning. They don't play again until Wednesday, and then they play Friday and Sunday. Those are two road games at Detroit in 3 days. You know, we probably won't get an update on Hero until at least tomorrow, maybe even Wednesday morning. So if you have to make that decision now, I would say hold him out of your lineup, you know, especially in a 3-game week for Miami. But, you know, this is not a team that, like Toronto, we're worried about trying to lose games. So I don't think they will take this longer than they need to.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, you know, because he was dealing with a knee injury and then now he's dealing with a foot injury. It looked like he hyperextended his knee and now he's dealing with what they're calling right foot medial tendonitis. So it's kind of hard to discern. I assume the knee injury is fine now and that's it's the foot, but, yeah, unfortunately, we don't have any more information about, like, they're just going to take it day to day.
Yeah. Brian also says he's dropping Royce O'Neal and Isaiah Hartenstein. Who should he pick up in a 10-team, 9-cat head-to-head league? Keontae George, Simone Fontecchio, Jock Landale, Amen Thompson, or Aaron Nesmith?
Keontae George has been pretty good lately. Yeah. 10 straight starts, averaging 17 points, 5 assists. Solid percentages, has been killing it from three. You know, we talked about Landale earlier, so I don't want to do a whole spiel on that. That's kind of uncertain. What do you think about Fontecchio, Amen, Nesmith?
Well, I think the case for Fontecchio is that Detroit, I believe, is the so Phoenix also has excuse me, I'm looking at the wrong page here. Detroit, I believe, is the only of these teams that has 4 games this week. So keep that in mind. Again, always depends on how the moves work in your league. But these are all different players, but comparable. You know, there's a reason you're considering all of them for this spot. Fontecchio's got 220-plus point games in his last 3. You know, a lot of it is going to hinge on, you know, is he going 1-for-3 from 3 or is he going 5-for-12 like he did the other night against Miami? So you have to live with that. It is a category league, so the 3s do help you there quite a bit. I do still think, you know, in a vacuum, it's probably Keontae George for me. I mean, he too has had 2 great games in his last 3. It just comes down to the schedule. You know, do you want 4 out of Fontecchio or do you want 3 out of Keontae George? Can you take it game to game? Can you kind of alternate between those two? But in terms of upside, I think it has to be Keontae George. And speaking of the Jazz, by the way, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about what's going on here. They brought in Darius Bazley, our old pal, as well as Kenneth Lofton on, you know, these non-guaranteed deals. That makes me worry about Taylor Hendricks, and it makes me worry even more about Lauri Markkanen.
It does. Suspicious moves by the Utah Jazz, let's say. Yes, Taylor Hendricks, who is we haven't really gotten an update on. You know, on March 5th, they said he'd be out at least a week. We haven't gotten anything since then, dealing with a toe injury. Those have various – the timelines on toe injuries are all over the place. Yeah. Then, Markkanen, who has missed 3 straight. And we don't have an update for him for tomorrow's game yet. It's a quad injury. It's about all we know. But yeah, if I, again, we've talked about in other pods, if you have Markkanen and you can trade him for comparable value, you just do it. But it gets hard. It gets more difficult every game that he sits out.
Yeah, Jazz are, I'm saying it, they're out of the play-in mix right now, and I don't think they care. They have the seventh worst record in the NBA. Actually, eighth worst record. Toronto has creeped up on them. So they have draft pick implications to worry about. I don't know if they're going to succeed in that, but they'll probably at least try to maximize their chances. We knew about Markkanen being a risk for a while, and I think every – you know, with each passing week, it becomes more and more concerning. And yeah, you kind of learn to read between the lines on some of these late season signings. Got a question about Ahmed Thompson in terms of, you know, can he pick up any value with Şengün injured? You know, first of all, I'm looking at his basketball reference page. His middle name is XLNC, just four capital letters. Wow. I never put that together. That's awesome. You knew this?
I did know this. I thought you knew this.
No, I should have known this. I feel bad that I didn't. You know, the interesting thing with the men, you know, it's like he's usually listed as what, shooting guard. Maybe you see him as a small forward. He's played almost 60% of his minutes at the three this year, according to Basketball Reference, but about 15% of his minutes have come at the four. You know, I don't think we see like an ultra small ball lineup where he's playing center, but there could be some trickle down effect here.
I think, you know, for me, he's not like a priority pickup, but it is interesting. I will say you have to monitor it because they could go more Jabari Smith and then slide up Amen, who, look, he's a really unique player. He's not really like Şengün at all, but is he someone that could hang out at the top of the key, do some dribble handoffs, do some pick and roll as the passer or the playmaker? I think he could. We know that he can. So I would not be surprised if he started getting like 28 minutes a game as opposed to like 20 minutes a game. Keep an eye on it.
And he's one of those guys, regardless of role, it's like you just want the minutes, right? Like whenever he sees big minutes, he's going to give you defensive stats more than anything. He rebounds at a ridiculous rate for a guy of his size. You know, both he and his brother are like that. You know, in games where he's played at least 27 minutes this year, he's averaging 10 rebounds. So it could be that simple, right? Where it's not like, all right, he's going to play center with Şengün out, but it's like, you got to replace 30 to 35 minutes in that rotation. And if even 5 to 7 of those go to Ahmed Thompson each night, I think that would be a huge help. So he gets a boost as well. We probably should have mentioned him earlier when we were talking about Jabari Smith. Manila's most wanted, says OG Anunoby. Are you still holding him? Knicks are taking this one day to day. Almost a week ago, they said he was fully cleared for basketball activities. He played some 5-on-5 last week, did not play last night against the Sixers. They're off tonight. Then the Knicks play Tuesday against Philly, Thursday in Portland, Saturday in Sacramento. Barring some sort of setback, Alex, I would expect Anunoby to play in one of those games.
I think so. I think if you've held him this long, don't drop him now, because he's officially day to day now and everything sounds like it's going well. So yeah, hang on to him. He should play soon.
All right. We got a Wizards question. Corey Kispert or Bilal Coulibaly for this 4-game stretch for Washington? So we will go back to the schedule here. Washington's off tonight. They're at Memphis, at Houston, at Chicago, and then home for Boston on Sunday. Not a great schedule, not a disaster. I wouldn't call it a plus. I would say Corey Kispert. I have not been a huge Coulibaly guy. Even when the minutes have been there for him, it's just been a little underwhelming. You know, you're really pinning yourself to some defensive stat upside, whereas I think Kispert is going to give you a higher floor night to night. He is a little bit 3-point dependent. He had been in a pretty huge slump prior to last night against Miami when he had 5 threes, but I would still lean Kispert.
Kispert's minutes have been more inconsistent, but I agree with Nick. I like his upside more. He's actually a decent rebounder and decent passer. Like sometimes you'll get 0, sometimes you'll get 5, but he's at least throwing them in there. It's kind of the same thing with Coulibaly. So I would couch it the same way Nick said, where it's, if you need offense, go Kispert. If you need defense, go Coulibaly.
Yeah, and he follows up and says he'd be dropping Trey Mann to do this. I think you kind of have to right now. This late in the year, I mean, he's missed 2 games. They say he's unlikely to play tonight, so it'll almost certainly be 3. I mean, keep in mind that if, you know, when that happens, he becomes IR eligible, but I don't know if you could play the waiting game, the night-to-night game with someone who's ultimately relatively low upside in Mann.
And we're talking about the Charlotte Hornets. So yes. When they say doubtful, that means out. And when they say questionable, that means doubtful. We saw this with Mark Williams. We've seen this with other guys. We saw this with LaMelo when they called him doubtful and then ruled him out for like a 2 months, like the day after. That's a fine move.
Daniel asks, with Sadiq Bey out for the season, is DeAndre Hunter a must-own rest of season? This is in a 10-team, 9-cat league. If you're just tuning in, Sadiq Bey, torn ACL, done for the year. Will likely impact him at the beginning of next year as well. In a 10-teamer, it's a little more borderline, but I think just based on the sheer number of minutes that are going to be available, I think you got to grab DeAndre Hunter. Keep in mind that Jalen Johnson is likely back in the next few games. I don't necessarily view him as like a shutdown candidate. I think when he's ready, he'll be back in there. He'll be able to backfill a lot of what Bay's given up. But Sadiq Bey was playing close to 40 minutes a lot of nights. And, Jalen Johnson's not going to grab all those. If it's a yes or no question, I would say yes, I want DeAndre Hunter.
I do too. Yeah, he sees like 5% usage bump with Trae Young and Sadiq Bey off the court. That's enough combined with the minutes. And look, yes, you're right, Daniel. He's only giving you points. Like, that's really what he's in there doing from a fantasy perspective. But sometimes that's just what you need.
Yeah, and threes, which are, of course, valuable. I mean, almost 2.5 makes per game over his last 15. Let's see. Another question here. More streaming dilemmas. Would you drop Andrew Wiggins for a Indy, Memphis, or Sacramento player who has a Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back? Waiver wire slim. So our question asker says he may be targeting Obi Toppin or Jake LaRavia. It's that time of year.
Man, Ken Jagan and I talked a little LaRavia on the Friday pod, doing a little more self-creation this year. Last year, every basket LaRavia made was assisted. This year, it's like basically half. So he's doing a lot more creation. I don't trust anybody on Memphis as far as I can throw them. I think we've said that plenty of times. Just in terms of all the injuries, but he's been playing well. And Toppin, Mathurin's out for the year. Toppin get a little more usage here or there, but I'm not really a Toppin guy. He's doing a lot of his work in transition. He's not really involved in the half court offense besides shooting some corner threes. I'd rather have LaRavia, and I'm fine dropping Wiggins for LaRavia, to be honest.
Yeah, I think with Memphis, I mean, things reached a fever pitch last night because they were out all the usuals plus Watanabe. Brandon Clark is still yet to come back. Jordan Goodwin, John Conchar, Vince Williams, guys who have mostly been available despite all these other injuries. So I think LaRavia got a little bit more of a bump than he normally would. I mean, he made his first career NBA start last night. Probably would have played more than 24 minutes had he not been in foul trouble. So that's something to keep an eye on. But Memphis, they're in that handful of teams where it's just night to night. You have absolutely no idea who's going to be available. Sometimes Jaren Jackson plays, other times he doesn't. Sometimes five guys are randomly out. Sometimes they're not. Take it with a grain of salt, be cautious, but for an upcoming back-to-back, I don't think I mind it. Good question here on Micić. Daniel says, I've been patiently waiting on the number one waiver wire priority all season. How high are you guys on Vasilije Micić rest of season? Is it worth picking him up and holding in case someone drops a true stud? I had to make the kind of depressing decision to go big on Micić in a couple leagues over the weekend. I think if you think Trey Mann's going to continue to miss time, I'm okay burning it on Micić, because there's a pretty good chance you might hold on to that waiver priority and then just never use it. I don't know who would really be dropped where you would feel like it's like a complete home run. You could have somebody who just like rage quits your league and just drops all their guys, which I have seen on Twitter. So there is that possibility, but then the commission maybe steps in. Yeah. I mean, especially if you're in a deeper league, I know this is a 12 teamer. The waiver wire is a wasteland this time of year. And
yeah,
I think if Trey Mann continues to miss time, I don't think we see LaMelo again. I mean, Micić could very easily be like a, 13-7-5 type of guy the rest of the way with some steals.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's 30 makes me like a little cautious, with the way Charlotte's horrible. And so there's always the shutdown risk, but like Nick said, Trey Mann, they list him as doubtful. That's not encouraging for the Hornets. So should you burn it? Micić has basically been giving you, since he got to Charlotte, he's basically been giving you 10 points, 5 assists. Recently, he's giving you 15-5. So I think you have to ask, what are the chances that someone comes up on the waiver wire who's giving you a pretty consistent, like 10 to 15 points with five assists. Not that many guys come up, especially with the assists. So I would be fine burning that.
All right, we got a good non-fantasy question from Vanilla Most Wanted. He says, what is your feedback for the Lakers being featured every ball game by the media? They are mediocre this season. Well, you know, I don't really mind it necessarily. You know, I think we have to keep in mind what's the priority for these national TV games, which is what I assume you're talking about. Lakers are a huge market. They have the biggest name player in the NBA. They have another huge star in Anthony Davis, who had a ridiculous game last night, by the way. And yes, they may be mediocre, but they also have something on the line here, right? You know, it's not like we're talking about a team that season is over and they're just playing out the string. You know, this isn't the New York Giants or the Jets being featured on Monday Night Football every week. There's still some level of intrigue of like, can the Lakers climb out of the play-in zone? You know, can they get to that sixth seed right now, which they're two games back of after winning last night? I don't have a big problem with it. I like watching the Lakers. Maybe I'm in the minority. You know, I'm a LeBron guy. But if you're not a LeBron guy, I can see why this would be very annoying.
Yes. I mean, the thing is, it was happening before LeBron got there. Like, any team that LeBron is on is going to get this kind of media, but that it's also the Lakers. So right. Maybe you should actually be happy that it's just one team getting all the attention rather than two teams getting outlandish media attention. But no, they still would have gotten the attention, or they still did get the attention when it was like the Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle era, all that stuff. And they would have if they had just still been bad. It just kind of is what it is, unfortunately.
That's a great point because, the Lakers are going to be on no matter what. And it's like Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. Like, the Jets are going to get a couple of those big games anyway. And then you just pour gasoline on the fire by throwing Rodgers on that roster. And that's really exactly what we've done with LeBron. And the other thing is the Lakers play a lot of late games, right? When you have like a 10 game slate, usually six or seven games at least are in the early window. So just by virtue of being in the Pacific time zone, they're going to play more of these late games, on national television. And, you know, if you're a network and you're saying, all right, should we put the Lakers on or the Sacramento Kings or, the Houston Rockets or whoever it may be, I think that becomes a pretty easy decision. I would love to, and there's a million reasons why they probably don't do this, but I would love for there to be kind of like these built-in flex games where, later in the season, especially, you have the option of like, all right, it could be a fan vote. It could be whatever. The teams with the best combined record, like whatever that game is, that goes on national TV.
Yeah, I agree. It also helps, at least the Lakers are in like a good division. So the chances of you seeing a good game are very high.
Yeah, very, very true. I mean, last night, fun game, despite Minnesota, being down both Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. AD had an all-timer. All right, I want to talk about, some other late season risers, late season targets. We hit a ton of them, via the questions here because, so many of those were great at kind of hitting on players who are relevant right now. But Utah is a team that I kind of wanted to go back to because I am worried about the market in shutdown, given what they did over the weekend. Taylor Hendricks, like you said, we haven't really had much in terms of updates. It's just a really, really troubling situation because there are very few obvious fill-ins here, right? I mean, Keontae George had kind of already been getting the minutes. We've seen more out of Sexton lately. Collins and Clarkson are two guys who you would think would be shutdown candidates, and yet they continue to play big minutes. But I mean, have you in deeper leagues, have you shown any interest in like the Bryce Sensabaugh's of the world?
Yeah, I very, very good question. I've tried to avoid like thinking about it too much, but you'd have to. I think Sensabaugh, Sensabaugh has played 30 minutes of back-to-back games and has been pretty involved. So that's something to take a look at. You always think like, is Talen Horton Tucker coming back? You never know. How much are they really going to play David Roddy? I just don't think any of these guys are going to be fantasy difference makers. Let's put it that way. Like if Utah comes up on a 4-game week, I think a lot of these guys are going to be viable streaming options. Like, especially if you're a 16 team league and you just need to stream guys in and everybody's fighting over a bunch of people and you put in like 8 waiver claims just to make sure you get a guy. There's a good chance you're going to have like one or two Jazz guys on that list, but I don't know if anybody's going to be a difference maker.
Yeah. I'm looking at some guys who, if you isolate the last 2 weeks, have really made big jumps. This guy's owned, I would think, in just about any league, but Naz Reid, I think, deserves a little pop here. Made his first start of the season last night, 25 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 4 blocks. He's got 12 made threes over the last two games. So if you are playing in like a 10 teamer and he's not out there, I don't think Gobert's injury is long-term, but obviously they're going to be without Cat for a while. So you know, anything you could do if Naz Reid is wasting away on a bad team, you know, maybe throw an offer out there, try to grab him, because I think he's going to be really valuable the rest of the season. And, you know, maybe they're a little bit careful with Gobert. I don't know how much, you know, getting the one seed in the West really matters to Minnesota as opposed to being as healthy as they can be.
Yeah, I would also look into Kyle Anderson, who there's a better chance Kyle Anderson is not rostered in your league. Look, don't expect anything crazy, but he can give you 8, 5, and 5 here and there, and get you some steals and blocks. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, someone who he filled in, I think, last night with Kyle Anderson missing time, played 39 minutes. If they decide to try to preserve Conley a little bit here and there, Nickeil Alexander-Walker's a guy who could benefit. And then they signed TJ Warren, and he played 23 minutes the other night, but I'm not ready to even talk about that, to be honest.
Yeah, that's going to take weeks, I think, of preparation to prepare us to talk about TJ Warren. Daniel says, enough about us. How are you guys feeling about your fantasy matchups this week? Thank you for the thoughtful answers, and good luck, Nick and Alex. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate that. Well, I lost Şengün in my two most important leagues, so I'm not feeling great. You know, I am getting Devin Booker back in one of those, so that'll be nice. Still holding Julius Randle in an IL spot. So once we get him back in the mix, I'll be feeling okay. I've been able to tread water, but I mean, Şengün's going to be a massive, massive loss. I am going up against somebody who has Embiid, though. So I'm feeling okay about that one. What about you?
Yeah, the Stake League, just kind of a slog all season. Miss Simons at the start of the year. It's a Rota league, so it's not a playoff situation. Yeah. OG Anunoby was big for me, obviously got hurt. Spencer Dinwiddie was in and out for me. That got destroyed. Daniel Gafford was big for me. That got destroyed. So that's pretty rough. And then the Keeper League, I just pulled the plug. So looking towards next season. And then NFBKC just didn't go that well in general. Not a disaster. Just not going to cash this year.
Yeah, I'm still trying to push in NFBKC. Having LaMelo has just, you know, put a ceiling on what my team could be. And, you know, in a league like that, you're never going to find somebody who's like, oh, great, I'll just, you know, drop LaMelo and be just fine. Like, there's just nobody that was going to replicate what he gives me. And the way I built my team was, you know, factoring in that he probably plays, you know, I was prepared for him to miss time. Wasn't prepared for him to play like 22 games on the year. Pretty tough right. to win any league when you're 13th overall pick or whatever it was. Is it giving you much? But yeah, Stake League, I think I'm gonna have to wave the white flag there. I think had Şengün stayed healthy, it would have been really interesting down the stretch. But I also have Markkanen in that league, and the way things are trending with him, you know, like I would need Markkanen to play like himself and play at least 90% of the games the rest of the way to really have a chance. So even after losing Şengün, you know, I didn't feel like all that great about my chances to charge up the standings, you know, with, I think I took Markkanen in, that was an auction league, but Markkanen, I believe, was my second highest price buy behind Damian Lillard, which is tough because Lillard started to play well now. It's like, I was not feeling great about that for the first half of the season. And all of a sudden now I'm getting, you know, like basically end of round one value out of Lillard. And as that's happening, we lose Şengün and Markkanen, you know, kind of starts backing his way out.
I will say we don't really talk about the article that much on this show, but if your fantasy leagues are not going well, you need some, you know, we pump out a lot of DFS articles that you can check out on the RotoWire website. We also write a best bets article that you can find on the sports betting section of the RotoWire website. Well, we throw it into the fantasy basketball front page when there's enough room. Maybe you don't have legal betting in your area, but Prize Picks, Underdog, stuff like that. So I don't think we have talked about the article the entire season on the podcast. Yeah. We do that. So give that a look if your fantasy teams are done and you still want to have some investment in NBA basketball.
Oh yeah. We're big in the streets when it comes to Prize Picks and Underdog here in Wisconsin. And you can check out, you know, our guy, Brandon Kravitz, who does the pod with us on Wednesdays. You know, he's putting out great picks each week. I think he hit 3 in a row to end the week last week. You can find those on the RotoWire Twitter account, RotoWire NBA as well. And if you haven't checked out rotowire.com/picks, highly, highly advise you look at that. Has great, great advice for Prize Picks, Underdog, sports books, just odds comparisons, you know, kind of pushes you toward, all right, what might be the best plays? What are the plays I should stay away from? Really, really good stuff over at rotowire.com/picks. All right, man. I think that'll wrap it up. We're at that point in the season where, you know, we run through injury news. We take questions on Delano Banton, and that's about it. But in the coming weeks, you know, we'll do some more concept episodes. We will, you know, talk about, you know, what is the first 40 or so picks of next year's 2024-25 fantasy drafts look like. Who are some guys that we're in on? Who are some guys when we're out on? But make sure to check that out. We'll keep running these, you know, through the regular season and into the playoffs as well. We'll have Dr. Ray back on the pod tomorrow. I will be with Brandon on Wednesday, Steve and Dr. Ray on Thursday, and then the waiver wire keeps churning, Alex. You'll be back on Friday with Ken and Shannon.